In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we are all aware that the readings of the month of Kiyak, the 4 weeks, are all from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And every week is giving us a part of the story of the incarnation of the Son of God. And the first week, the reading is about the Annunciation that was carried by Archangel Gabriel to Zacharias the priest, about the coming of the forerunner, Saint John the Baptist, about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Those people were regular people among others. Actually, they are not just regular and they wouldn't get the attention of anyone. But also Elizabeth, she was barren, and according to the custom of this time, the tradition, if a woman is barren, then she has some kind of a curse from God. That's why she said that about what happened to her, that God looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So among men, they were reproached. A priest that has a wife that was barren. But we hear here what God would say about them, that they were both righteous before God. How different it is when we look at how we measure ourselves, how we compare ourselves to ourselves, and we come with conclusions far from being the status before God. God testified about those two people, this couple, being righteous before Him. There are many examples in the Bible where we find righteous couples. They were approved by God. They were favored by Him. Even they were not of a special status. Zacharias did not do miracles. Elizabeth was not a woman that would be like dignified among the people. She was in certain situation where she has to hide herself. Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God, first of all, because as the Bible tells about them, they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They tried to keep every single command. They did not excuse themselves. Did not think that this command is too much, this is too heavy, this is not for us. They tried walking in all of the commandments of the Lord. Just by accepting that the Word of God is holy and I have to abide too. Even if I am failing, if I cannot, but I will try, I will walk. This will count us as righteous before God. In all of the commandments, they were struggling to keep all of them. They were righteous also because, as the Bible says about them, they were blameless. The Bible did not say that they were not without mistake, as we might think about who a saint would be. A saint in our mind should be a person with no mistake. He does not commit any fault. But actually, this is not the case. They were blameless. People cannot see something that's like scandalous to the service that they were taking care of. Nothing in, from what they did would make them to be blamed by people. Also, they were patient and faithful. Elizabeth did not stop from serving God and being faithful to Him. And the same also applied on Zacharias, even knowing that they were both not blessed at the beginning, at least, of their story from God. Being barren did not stop her from being the good woman that she was. Being childless for Zacharias did not stop him from being the faithful servant whom he was. They were patient. They were waiting. Maybe they gave up on the hope of maybe they will have a child one day, but they never gave up on loving and serving God with all their hearts. Those people were righteous before God because they were faithful and patient, and they waited and waited. Even they gave up on a certain hope, but they never gave up on being the faithful servants whom they are. Another example of those righteous couples is Abraham and Sarah. We do not know about any miracle that was done by Abraham. We never heard about Abraham healing a sick or raising a dead. But Abraham was the man who obeyed God all through his story. What's very interesting about Sarah, God spoke with Abraham, appeared to him. Maybe this will make sense when a man would follow based on a calling from God. But Sarah followed based on what her husband told her. I would think that Sarah maybe at certain time come and doubt. Do you mean what you are saying? Do you truly know what you are talking about, that we have to leave everything and leave and follow on a call that we do not know even where we are going to land? Were you in sound mind where you gave up all the land to your nephew? I'm not sure if she heard about him was about to take their own son and offer it as sacrifice. But they were righteous. They both obeyed. They both accepted God. Sarah obeyed her husband and followed him all through. Also, we always remind the brides on the day of their wedding of the example of respect to the husband given by Sarah. She kept on speaking about her husband all the times, calling him my Lord. Unfortunately, in these days when we sometimes when they say this command, we find like a smile that fades on the face of the bride, like saying, Abuna, you don't know what you're talking about. This is not going to happen. This woman was an example of faithfulness and respect, and she and her husband were counted as righteous before God. Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel, the prophet, were also from those people who were righteous before God. Hannah also was barren. Accordingly, then she was reproached from people. Not only so, but she has a rival, Peninnah, and she was teasing her all the time because she did not have children. Elkanah, the husband, was very sensitive to the feeling of his wife. He was very attentive to the fact that she is missing a child, and she feels she is not as equal as other women. His sensitivity moved him all the time to pay attention and to try to do extra effort in order to make her feel that I'm not lacking anything. We hear the scripture telling us about this righteous man. That then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Of course, husband, no matter how good he is, he cannot be as dear as a son or a daughter. But the man at least was trying. He was very sensitive to his wife's feelings, and this is something that's truly noteworthy. Hannah also, in her godliness, she was grieved with the fact that she was not given a son. She had hard time in the house when she used to go to the house of God with her husband and her rival. She was teasing her and giving her time. But how Hannah handled her sorrows? She did not take it on her husband, saying that, look at your wife and what she is doing to me. She did not fight back with Peninnah and turn the house into a battlefield between two rivals. She took her sorrow inside, and she moved with this sorrow and made it poured her heart in prayers. This is godliness, my brethren, when we see a woman in this very bad situation. She's avoiding to be in trouble with anyone, but she took herself to God and poured her sorrow and her grief before Him. Both of them, they were righteous in how they vowed, God, if you give me a son, I will give it to you. After the son came, we see Hannah still very determined to give the son. Yes, maybe we can praise her for doing so, but what about Elkanah? Why he should honor this vow? According to the law of the Old Testament, a husband can revoke the vow made by her wife, and he would be okay. Nothing wrong with it. He can say to her, I do not agree, and this is enough for her vow to be annulled. But he didn't. He agreed with her. He did not blame her. He did not tell her, how come you vow to give a child? You may vow to give money, you give a sheep or a goat or anything, but to give a son, but both of them, they were righteous. Everything belongs to them is God's. So it was not for him a big deal that whenever it's the time to give a son, I will agree, because we all belong to him. They were righteous in their agreement to honor this vow, the hard one that was given by Hannah. An example from the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila. Those couples were not famous. Maybe some of us do not know about them whatsoever. But those people labored and worked hard with St. Paul. They were originally living in Rome among the other Jews living there until the governor of Rome decided to cast all of the Jews away. So they moved to the city of Corinth, and they were tent makers. They were trying to live and accommodate to live in a new city and finding maybe the means to sustain their family. Even going through this struggle did not stop them from working with St. Paul, opening their house as a church to host the believers and support the ministry of this man, St. Paul, whom they believed in his mission. They did not think of themselves. We are relocated, we have troubles here in the new city, and we have to find at least the means so we can provide for our families before we think about God and his people. Yes, we pray and we will be tithing, but for now, we are busy with whatever we are going through. They did not do this. They helped St. Paul and labored with him, and he mentioned him in some of his letters. Not only so, but they were knowledgeable people. When they heard about a disciple, his name was Apollos, who came and he was preaching in Corinth, his teaching was not very accurate because he only knew about the baptism of John. They did not say in themselves, okay, let him do whatever. We do not want to make him feel bad, to correct him. No, they were righteous in the way how they felt the zeal that we have to do something in order to correct our brother and let him preach in the right way. Then we read about him in Acts 18. So he began to speak boldly, this about Apollos, in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They heard the man, and then, not to embarrass him before others, they took him aside, and then they start to explain to him. You know, there is baptism after the baptism of John. The baptism of John was only for repentance, but the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ is for the forgiveness of sins. This is something you need to update your teaching. And they did, and they gained this man to the church of God. Many, many examples. The four examples that I mentioned today are some. And as we all see, none of those people were like dignitaries. They were not miracle doers. They were not known by everyone. Some of them even were reproached by men. People thought of them as not favored and not accepted by God, but this was not the case. Also, searching the scripture, we find there are certain people whom we can call righteous spouses. They were by themselves righteous people in the house they lived in. One of them was Lot, the righteous. We know many mistakes that Lot made in how he chose to live in Sodom and Gomorrah, knowing that the people were wicked, but he still were counted before God as righteous. We all call him this, Lot the righteous. And this teaches us something, that even when we do mistakes, even we make wrong choices, we are still can be counted before God as righteous if we still choose him and repent our bad deeds. The wife of Lot, her heart, unfortunately, was not as good as her husband. Her heart was with the city and what she left behind. Unfortunately, while they were departing from the city, they had different direction. Everyone looked in a different way. Lot looked forward into escaping the evil and escaping the punishment of God. Unfortunately, his wife was looking still backward on the city and what she left behind. Neither her husband nor her daughters, neither even her own safety made her to change direction and look in the same way that her husband was looking at. This is an example, but Lot was still a righteous man before God. Look at another example, Abigail. This woman that we only hear about her in 1 Samuel chapter 25. This woman was married to a man that his name, the translation of his name is fool. Imagine this. I do not know how she did this in the first place, to marry somebody his name is translated as fool. And I'm sure that she suffered much living with this man. But even while suffering with him, this did not stop him from doing what she was supposed to do when the call was for her to save her husband. When he answered the servants of David in such a way that provoked David's anger, and David vowed that he is not going to allow this man or anyone that's living with him to live till the next morning, Abigail took initiative, and she went and she took a gift with her and pleaded with David in order to save her husband. Maybe if another person, she would think that, I think he deserves what he's going to reap. It's time for him now to pay for the foolishness that we went through because of him. But because she was a righteous woman, she moved with this sense of responsibility and she stopped David from shedding the blood of her husband. Job, he was a righteous man and he went through a lot. We all know him as the example of suffering and bearing troubles in his life. At the time when he was afflicted from all sides, we find his wife, instead of being a source of comfort and backing and supporting him, she comes and tell him something that's really would trouble anyone and add to the his sorrow. His wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Die means here, go and kill yourself. She was asking him to commit suicide. Of course, this is something that's very hard. While he is going through this, maybe he's expecting that this woman is going to be the backup, the support. Unfortunately, she was not, but this did not stop him from being Job that we all praise for his patience and endurance. Many, many examples, my brethren, if we would like to measure ourselves, these are the standards. These are the people of God. Those are the people whom God hold before our eyes as example and leaders in order for us to be able to learn and lead our families. We might have our own set, our own thinking of what is good and what is bad. I want all of us to double check, lest our standards and how we measure things are not according to God's standards. Let us also think that to be righteous before God is much, much important and valuable than to be honored or praised by men. Let us not feel sorry for ourselves if even we are reproached among others, if we know that we are faithful in serving and loving God who called us. May the Lord grant us all to live in this righteous way, to be accepted before God and be pleasing to Him at all times. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.